Let me pray for us, okay? God, we exalt you, God. We come to lift you up, God. And in that, God, we are also desperate to know you and to know you intimately, God. We don't want to waste this life. We don't want to squander this precious time that we have, God. So, God, would you shake us awake? Shake me awake, God, to you and all your purposes, your love for us, God, your desire and your passion and your zeal, oh God. So I pray now, God, for you to come to take my inadequate words and to turn them into your words, God, and that they would feed and nourish and minister to us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through John 13 through 17 in what I'll call a sub-series, a mini-series called Intimacy with God. That time, John 13 through 17, is unique. It's unique to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not talk a lot about what's said in that upper room, that week leading into Jesus, that week leading up to the cross. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't really talk about it. But John, the writer, who's one of the disciples, who also, you know, scholars would say the book of John was written the latest of the four Gospels, spends a lot of time, probably to supplement the other three books. And there's something that was only for the 12 or 13 in that room, right? And so it is, I think, the very heart of God and the very heart of Jesus Christ. He's opening up vulnerably to his disciples and to us. So I hope we can glean a little bit more. Today we're going to talk about, the sermon is titled Our Ache for God, from John 16, okay? And before we dive into John 16, I want to start and read a very famous quote. Many of you might know this quote, hopefully know this quote. If you don't, that's okay. But if you've heard it, you'll probably remember it from where it's from. All right, let me read the quote. It's from C.S. Lewis. It is from the book Mere Christianity. Okay, he says, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water." So he's trying to make a case that our desires, if we have desires, they point to something that we long for. Okay? "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Okay? So, adults, teenagers, children, I'm not sure if young children will quite understand this. But if you're, 13, 15, 16, 18 and above, for the rest of us. I think you understand that, and I call it this ache. Okay, if you've lived long enough, I hope and I pray that you have been disappointed by this world. I hope and I pray that in your pursuit of whatever it is that you want to pursue, I hope you feel disappointed. I hope you feel an ache, okay? I hope you feel a longing. And what C.S. Lewis, and I think what Scripture is saying, is that longing can only be filled by one thing, and that is God. Okay? There's another quote that I don't have, and I'm probably going to butcher it. Something, C.S. Lewis said it, something about a God-sized shaped hole in your heart. And we try to fill it with other things. We try to accumulate wealth and money and status and self-glory and even relationships. And we try to fill it. And I hope you feel disappointed from time to time, if not frequently. Because you need to know that there's nothing. There's really, this is temporary. Everything we have here is temporary. It's hard. It's hard for me. I know it's hard for you. I wake up and I you know, we're sensory beings and I see all the things that gotta happen today. And I latch onto that and I think this is, and my brain and my heart and my sin, it tells me, oh, I gotta latch onto this. And there is this idea in Scripture and in God that this is temporary. We're not made for here. And Jesus talks about that in John 16. Because this is when he starts to present the idea to his disciples that he's going away. And he has some pretty depressing words for the disciples. Seemingly depressing words, okay? So let me read them. John 16, 20 to 22. But there is hope on the back end. There's always hope in God. This is Jesus talking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep. You will. You will weep. And you will lament. And the world will rejoice. Everyone will be having a party, except you. You will be sorrowful. It's like, thanks God for these promises, right? Thanks, right? You will be sorrowful, but soon your sorrow will turn to joy. And he gives an analogy. When a woman is giving birth, I can't relate to that. She has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish. These are strong words. Sorrow, weeping, lamenting, anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into this world. So also, you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. We've posed this question a couple different times. It might be new for some of the new folks. Why is it that God would not zap us into heaven right when you get saved? Why is it that, like, right there in that room, Jesus is like, just kidding, I'm going to take you to heaven right now, disciples? Why would he not do that? Or even after he resurrects, when he ascends, why wouldn't he just take them all with him? It would be easier, would it not? It would be more convenient. It would be more efficient. Why does he leave us with the great commission and the great commandment, the greatest commandment? Go and make disciples, love one another. Why doesn't God do that? He's the best discipler in the history of man. Why does he want us to go and make disciples? He can do it. He can do it way better than me and you. But he doesn't do that. He ascends and departs, but leaves us here. That's interesting. Because there's something, and the reason we talk about that question sometimes is we need to have a very reliable, robust understanding of why we're here. It defines the very purpose for why we're here for 10, 20, 30, 50, 80 years, okay? So when we say, don't waste your life, this time is precious, because this is not it. So there must be something deeply meaningful, deeply profound, because God could take us all and he could do that. Jesus could disciple the world forever and fast and get his sheep, right? And bring them into heaven. But he doesn't do that. He leaves us here and he departs. He gives us the Holy Spirit as our helper. And that, like, separation, a lot of different words for it. For today, I'll call it just this ache that we have, okay? This longing. You know, when you look up the word ache in, I don't know what dictionaries are called these days. It used to be Merriam-Webster, I don't know, dictionary.com. I don't know who defines things in dictionary.com. It says, a continuous or prolonged dull pain in a part of one's body. It's a pain. It's a persisting, dull pain. And he says, you will weep, you will lament, you will have anguish, you will be sorrowful. John 16:2-3, this is earlier in the chapter. The hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. I don't know if anyone here is in imminent threat of being killed or deeply persecuted in the name of God, but I'll tell you what, you know what? The way the world is headed and you want to stand for Christ, you might not get that promotion, might not get that job, right? Might not get those opportunities. Your kids might not get those opportunities. John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. This is how he closes John 16. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So he's presenting this idea in John 16 and in other places that there's this time period where of separation, of temporary separation from God. And so if you feel that ache in your heart, there's good news, okay? It can only be filled by God. And it has deep and profound meaning that we are here to experience that ache on this earth. And I believe, and I would say this is kind of the bottom line up front, right? So I'm going to try to prove this point throughout, that that ache is necessary. Jesus wouldn't do it if it wasn't necessary. So you have to hunger deeply to appreciate the value of good food. You have to thirst deeply, deeply to appreciate the quenching nature, the satisfying nature of water. And you have to ache deeply without numbing the pain. Okay? You have to ache deeply to rejoice in the coming Christ. So it's meaningful. It's meaningful. Otherwise, God wouldn't do that. There's some song lyrics I would like to read, okay? I am a nomad, a wanderer. I have nowhere to lay my head down. There's no point in putting roots too deep when I'm moving on. My heart is filled with songs of forever, a city that endures where all is made new. I know I don't belong here. I'll never call this place my home. Okay. There's actually, let me broaden this idea a little bit, like across, thematically across scripture. There is this theme of scripture that of exile. Like, we're never really quite home. The Israelites, I mean, frankly, even today, right? They're never really quite home and at peace. You've never really arrived. They're exiles. They're wandering. They're nomadic. They're exiled from the Garden of Eden. They're exiled from Egypt and they're wandering through the desert. I talked earlier this morning. They finally establish a kingdom and they have a civil war, and then the Assyrians come around 600 BC and they scatter them. That was the Assyrian tactic, by the way, right? To disentangle you from your culture. They scattered you. They scattered your people so that you would be washed out amongst, right, the world. The Babylonians come, they take the southern kingdom, they exile Daniel, remember? That's the book of Daniel. And then they finally come back under the Persians, and it's like, it's kind of not really the same. And, you know, they build a temple, they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. And then, like, you know, but it's still under Persian rule. And then the Greeks come, and then the Hasmoneans come, and then the Romans come. That's when Jesus shows up. And if you look even after Jesus' life, you look at Jewish history, it's just like God is just not letting them settle. And Jesus comes and he says, the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. So his promise, right, or his proclamation upon coming in Mark 1 is, I'm here. I'm here to set up the real home once and for all. You know, there's a term in Jewish culture called, like, the Jewish diaspora. Okay, you can look it up. You can Google it if you want. But it's this idea. It's even non-Christian Jewish historians, they have a name for the fact that they're constantly scattered. It's called the Jewish diaspora. It's like they just can't, like, they can't find their way and get home. So thematically, we're all living under exile. So 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Soldiers are too busy. They are too busy with the mission. They don't have time for civilian pursuits. Okay? And I hope and I pray, like I said earlier, I hope and I pray, even for myself, even for my children, that we just feel that ache. We feel that sense of disappointment. You go after those jobs and those promotions, and I hope you're not too successful. You go after this wealth and this retirement and this security, and I hope you're not too successful. You try to position your children, and I try to position my children for, you know, worldly success, and I hope and I pray that we're not too successful, because we gotta feel that ache. You gotta feel that disappointment from the world. I remember, I don't have this in my notes, I remember when I was like I was in elementary school. Okay, so to be honest, I was like kind of popular in elementary school. Okay, I just, you know, just putting it out there, all right? I was a student president, or not president, student, what, you know, one of the, you know how they do, like student government, right? I think it was like vice president or secretary or something like that, right? Not the president. But, you know, there's like hundreds of kids. And I was one of the five. I was kind of popular, right? It's kind of like, you know, maybe they're like, ooh, Asian. I don't know what that is, right? Like, what is that? So maybe it was like new and novel. And then I went to middle school. Gosh, middle school's hard, right? And it's like the combining of the elementary schools. And I was like, I just couldn't make it. I couldn't make it to that top tier. I was always living at that second or third tier. And I was like, it was like going down too, over every, like seventh grade to eighth grade, it like went down. I don't know how that happened. And then I was like, I mean, just this, I can share later, but these crazy middle school thoughts. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like how do I, you know? And just that ache, right? That 13-year-old ache. And I think here's maybe the main point for today, or the main exhortation, I would say, for us. It's so easy. It's so easy nowadays to numb that ache. Okay? There's some controversial things happening in the NFL, in the National Football League right now, because like when people get injuries. Well, this has been happening for a long time, actually. But it's just coming more to light. You know, there's more media. There's more social media. And, you know, when you get an injury, that means there's pain, right? If you tear something or whatever, that pain is a signal that there's a problem. And in the past, I mean, they're trying to come clean with it now these days. But in the past, they would just shoot you up with stuff. They would shoot up your ankle with all these numbing agents to deaden the nerves around that area so that you would not feel that pain. And I'm so guilty of this, okay? I'll do anything to numb the pain. And it's different for all of us, right? So I'm not here to like, you know, overly judge or whatever, right? Netflix, Korean drama, Instagram, you know, shopping. I mean, whatever. Whatever it is for you. Work. For me, sometimes it's work, right? I feel like I'm getting things done. I'm like, you know, like I'm achieving something, you know, like. And I'm not saying any of those things are evil in and of themselves. But if you're using it to numb the pain so you can suppress the ache or suppress the feeling of the ache, the man cave, the she shed, right? Whatever. Whatever it is you'd use to take the edge off of the day, that's numbing the pain. It's not solving the pain. It's numbing the ache. And God forbid that we would obey Jesus' commands to gouge out the eye and cut off the hand, which is painful, by the way. so that we would feel the ache and the pain, which can only be satisfied by God. So Jesus must have a purpose. He must. He's so much wiser than me and us. He must have purpose for that sorrow and that lamenting and that anguish. So don't numb the pain. And nowadays it's, you know, for our high schoolers, I mean, we got to pray for them. It's antidepressants and, you know, whatever else. Back in my day, it was alcohol and, you know, I mean, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is that you use, that our children are beginning to use, they're even, I mean, it's even legal now, antidepressants, and they're using it to numb the pain. And what I'm saying is, and I think what God is saying is, let's not settle for these cheap substitutes. It's not the real thing. I was thinking about this story. This will make you laugh a little bit. I was thinking about this story. When Tammy and I went on our honeymoon, we went to Aruba. It's a tiny little island. Don't spend more than 4 days there if you go. Yeah. It's like 8 miles by 20 miles. We ended up spending like 8 or 9 days there. We were bored out of our minds, right? I mean, by like the fifth or sixth day. And you know what happened? Around day 6 or 7, we get this ache for Korean food and kimchi and just anything. Anything that's not that, you know, like the American char-grilled, whatever, right? And, you know, you kind of need that, like, that thing, right? That fermented kind of flavor. Anyways, and so we, like, day 6 or 7, we're, like, on this mission. We're hitting up every convenience store looking for something. Something even remotely Asian, right? On this tiny little island. And we finally stumble upon, like cup of noodles, you know, like the American ramen, like chicken flavor or something. And then we go and we pull like, you know, Texas Pete hot sauce and, you know, this is true. We actually did this. And then we go back to the, you know, hotel room or whatever and we heat it up and we put all the hot sauce in and we're like just desperately trying to do something. And then you take a bite and that thing was nasty, right? It was the worst. It was so bad. We threw it out, I think. I hope we did. And it was just a cheap substitute for this wonderful thing we call kimchi jjigae, right? Or, you know, like whatever, right? Whatever Korean or whatever, wherever you're from, by the way. It doesn't have to be Korean. Whatever food you long and ache for. You know, it was the worst. It was just terrible. What a terrible experience. And I mean, it's funny, but it's like these lesser things, right? I'm not saying you don't have to worry about your retirement. I'm not saying you don't have to worry about work. Please go and work hard, you know, for the glory of God. I'm not saying you don't have to worry about your kids. I'm not saying you don't have to worry about the things of this life, right? We have responsibilities. But don't use it for something it's not meant to be used for. It's not meant to satisfy that deep ache that you have for God. Let me read a couple verses and hopefully just encourage us. Psalm 42, 1-2. I think you know this well. We sing it probably every other week. My bad. actually, I'm not sorry. It's a great song. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And here it is. When When? We're struggling here, God, right? You said there's going to be sorrow and lamenting and anguish. When, God, when shall I come and appear before God? When, God? And what I'm saying is that ache, I hope you feel that ache. Don't suppress that when, God. Don't suppress it. I'm talking to myself. Don't suppress it, right? Let's go out of our way not to suppress that ache for God. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You know what refuge is? We sang about that this morning. Refuge. Refuge is protection. So if you're in a bad storm and you seek refuge in a home or under shelter, so the context of refuge is a storm. In need of protection, in need of safety. Taste and see that God is great, is amazing. Taste it and see it and find your refuge in him. James 1:2-4. I think you know this. Count it all joy, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. When, not if, when. So James knows what's up. James knows what Jesus is saying. When, not if, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance. It creates depth. There's a purpose. There's a meaning. Jesus left us here, departed from us, gave us the Holy Spirit to do things that we cannot do in heaven. You cannot ache for God in heaven. You will not. That's why we're above the angels. The angels have never ached for God. Did you know that? You don't need to forgive anyone in heaven. Sounds nice, right? You don't need to be forgiven in heaven. That's something we learn here. You don't have to have your supernatural Spirit-empowered love cover a multitude of sins in heaven. You don't have to do that. You only do it here. You don't have to experience death and loss in heaven. You don't have to experience disease and brokenness in heaven. Right? You won't ache in heaven. But Jesus deems it in his supreme, infinite wisdom that we're here for a temporary amount of time to, I would dare say, cultivate that ache. To produce steadfastness, depth, right? Like when you make a, well, I don't know how to do this because I'm a terrible cook, but when you, apparently you can, you know, if you're really good at like stews, right? Like there's a depth. I think you need salt, right? You need depth. And you gotta like boil the stuff for a long time. Steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God is producing in us in this time period an endurance, a steadfastness, a sense of perseverance, steadiness, these firm foundations to make us complete, to ready us for Himself. He's preparing the bride for the groom. It's necessary. Right? Don't numb the pain. Don't numb that ache. Seriously, let's think about that. Think about that before you go to bed tonight. What are we going to do to not numb that ache tomorrow? What are you going to cancel? What are you going to turn off? What are you going to throw away? And again, I'm talking to myself. Okay. Let's let God stir us. Stir that ache for a great longing for Him. Okay, let's pray together. God, we love You, God, because You love us first. God, I pray, especially for those who are aching, God, longing, lonely, depressed, lost. God, I pray that You would satisfy us, God, even if it is just in part, God, to cultivate our taste buds for You, God, to renew our longing for You, God. Help us today, God. Help us to worship You, to long for You, God. Forgive us in how we turn to other things, God. Thank You for that ache. Thank You for that feeling of longing and incompleteness that You give to us so that we might rejoice in You, God. Would You help us, Lord? Help us to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray.